For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction with Chicago baseball expert Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Pearson from the stretch fires again. Fly ball hit to deep left field. Trouble. Ian Happ back to the wall. That's a grand slam. Goodman with a grand slam. And the Rockies take a 9-5 lead.
Ugh. Tough way to start the show. Inside the Clubhouse, Saturday morning. I'm Ryan McGuffey with the great Bruce Levine here on 670 The Score.
What's so great about me?
Yeah, then that's the last compliment I'll give you for the next 2 hours.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's we'll put each other in our place. Pleased to be sitting in the chair once again. Not so pleased to see the Cubs cough up another big game, as there's not a lot of margin for error at this point, Bruce, and we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about pitch selection. We're going to talk about probability of winning. We're going to talk about the reality of the situation with just a couple weeks left in the Chicago baseball season. Are the Cubs still holding on with any hope at all for the playoffs? White Sox inching toward the tragic number of 121. All those things here on Inside the Clubhouse. 312-644-6767. That's our number. You can reach Ryan at that number also. That's our text line. Again, 312-644-6767. And Ryan, the pitch that was made with the Cubs tied in that game, they have a great comeback. The big home run by Bush to tie it up. Ball still hasn't come down. Went about 450 feet to the top deck in Colorado, but the pitch selection that we saw, and on an 0-2 pitch, a ball that is a cement mixer right down the middle of the plate, is hard to get my head around. I'm having trouble with that, because although I've never pitched in a major league game or competitively since high school, which is many decades ago. If you have an 0-2 count, how do you throw a pitch like that? I mean, first pitch is fouled off. Second pitch, the guy swings at a slider that's probably 12, 14 inches off the plate. So how do you lose a game? How do you give up a home run like that on an 0-2 pitch? And I think everyone in Cub Nation, every Cub player, coach, you know, certainly the player himself, feel pretty badly about losing that way.
Well, I'll go a little deeper and say, forget the pick. Look at who you're relying on to make these pitches at this point in the game. I mean, you have Drew Smyly and Nate Pearson. There's no guy with a Hall of Fame resume in the back end of that bullpen. I mean, Drew Smyly has cleared waivers and is back on this team. I don't understand why he's still pitching in games that matter in those spots.
What hand does he throw with?
His left.
Okay.
Well, I mean, hell, I'm going to tie my hand behind my back if I can, you know, go out there and throw some batting practice. It's just I don't understand why Drew Smyly's pitching in meaningful games in the seventh inning.
Are you angry at Council? Are you upset with Smyly? Or are you not happy with the process of roster construction?
It's got to be – I don't think I can really pinpoint Drew Smyly and say, like, hey, I'm mad at you. This is – it's not his fault that he's pitching in this situation. They don't have a bullpen good enough to get them to where they want to go, which is into the wild card. I mean, let's be honest. It's all about getting in. We talked about that last week. Just get in. Forget it. Forget how you do it. The Braves have had, you know, 2/3 of their offense wiped out due to injury, and they're trying to find a way to get in. Get in and see what happens. They don't have enough at the back end. They've had last night's game to me was the 2024 Cubs. Early lead, blown lead, late comeback, tie game, blown game. Like, yeah. That's the Chicago Cubs.
Well, it's certainly reminiscent of September of last year, yeah. Where Alzolay goes down with an injury September 6th, and doesn't return till the very last game toward the last inning of the year, just coming back from injury, seeing what happened to him this year, blown save, put in the bullpen, then arm surgery. So this is the complex part. Now, I've given the Cubs front office a lot of credit for going out there and getting 30 pitchers during the season from April on to help fortify their bullpen, their farm system, and keep them afloat. They had the best bullpen as far as getting the job done, ERA efficiency, from June 29th through about, I'd say, 10 days ago. And then things started to go a little bit south. Again, construction of a bullpen for a playoff-bound team, it rears its ugly head, Ryan, this time of year. It really does, because when the games get bigger, you're playing a game like you did against Colorado last night, and it's June 4th, okay? Yeah. All right, go get them. We'll win the next two. Now, the whole dynamic has changed. You know, it's like people are looking at their numbers. Cubs are going to have to go 13-2 to win 88 games. Mets 6-9, and they have the tiebreaker. Doesn't look so realistic at this point.
No, I mean, I think it's more realistic that we're sitting in this chair a week from now, and that the Cubs have been eliminated from playoff contention, and the White Sox are the worst team in the history of baseball. Like, I think that those two, that's probably, if you're betting.
And have a Merry Christmas? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's a minus 250 right now to make that bet. And I'd lay it, because the Cubs have 0.2% chance to make the playoffs on Fangraphs. 0.2%.
According to?
That's to Fangraphs.
Okay.
0.6 to Baseball Reference. So let's say it's 0.4 if we're playing the middle. But let's go back to what you just talked about with the 13-2. That's realistic, folks. That's what you're looking at. The Cubs have to basically go 13-2 the rest of the way. If we're going to call 88, is 88 the number we're saying gets in, Bruce?
Right.
Okay, so 88 gets in.
It's 88-74.
13-2. And the Cubs have a much more favorable schedule than the New York Mets.
Why is 88 the number? Because the Mets only need 6 wins to hit that number, okay? So they play Philadelphia, they play the Nationals, they play the Phillies again, they play Atlanta, Milwaukee. Very tough schedule, okay?
That's why last night sucks. That's why going to Colorado, a team that is bound to lose 100 games again, there's zero margin for error. To be quite honest with you, we can go back to, I think, Wednesday's game was something I raised red flags at, with Jordan Wicks has given up 4 home runs in the first inning, and you still ride him for 2 more innings because you don't have the length in your bullpen to do anything else. There's no desperation here. The Cubs should have swept the Dodgers. They should have swept the Dodgers.
So the argument, if Jed Hoyer was sitting here right now, the argument that he would make is, don't get on my case because my pitchers got injured. Okay? We had Ben Brown. We had Wisniewski. We had Assad to begin the year as in the bullpen.
Okay.
Those three guys in your bullpen sounds pretty strong.
What'd you do at the deadline, Bruce? Because you knew some of those guys were already injured. What'd you do at the deadline?
Deadline, you didn't do a lot.
Okay. So then that's my counter to that question. You had the injuries prior to the deadline. You knew you had missing.
You made a trade with Toronto. You got Pearson. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
throws a cement mixer middle last night.
Yeah, but you know, he's thrown well. I mean, there's been growth. So here's the problem, Ryan. It's something I've talked about all year with counsel, Hoyer at times, on this show with David and now with you, and that is the Cubs winning 85 or 86 games, which is still realistic, you know, probably 84, 85 games, right? That's probably still realistic, okay, with their schedule left. Is that really more what the season should have been looked at because of player development rather? Well, you had a catcher that hadn't ever caught full-time in the major leagues as your catcher, okay? You had your other catcher had to be released, you know, after 3 months. You had a first baseman that had never played Major League Baseball coming out of the Dodger organization, played second, third, and first. You had a third baseman who had never had a full-time position in morale there. And then in center field, you had Bellinger until it wasn't Bellinger. He got hurt a couple of times, and then it was Armstrong. So you had player development in center, first, third, catcher, okay? You had a bullpen with Alzolay, who was coming back from injury, failed and got injured again. Was this season really more about player development? Is it a success with 84, 85 wins, knowing you have player development, a first baseman who has played very well, gotten better defensively, a center fielder that can be a star down the road, a catcher that can be looked at as your everyday guy behind the plate? These are things that, you know, the realities of the baseball world after you do or you don't make the playoffs this year. Is that a successful season?
Hell no. Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay.
When you have a $230 million payroll, you're seventh in Major League Baseball in payroll, you fire David Ross because you needed to get the guy up the street that was, the, quote unquote, the best manager in the game. You paid him the most money in the history of any manager. No, 84 wins is not good enough. It's not. And I don't care what the roster construction, it's a fail that the bullpen looked like this the last two seasons. Okay. Azalea was a success story last year, but you kind of developed him on the fly for that role. And look, before the show, I was going through the first place teams and looking at their closers. There's a lot of teams that would surprise you that have 12 or 13 players with a save.
Was there a better free agent signing for production and money spent than Imanaga?
Is there a better one
in baseball this year?
Probably not. Eric Fetty would like a word, but not for no Shota is that. But what are we going to do? Are we giving like postseason awards to, hey, good job?
No, I think you're right. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm trying to give you what we always give on this show, and that is a whole picture of how to look at this, how to perceive it from our perspective. Our great listeners and people who listen to the show figure out exactly what they think is BS and what is the truth while we're speaking. We don't speak for them. The idea, though, that is there enough player development in the Cubs system to be able to feel good about moving forward with this group, the people you have there, and how much more money do you have to throw at this group to make them into a Dodgers or a Yankees? And again, we've talked about it a lot off the air, Ryan, and that is, who's the great team right now? Who do you want to be when you grow up? If the Cubs grow up, who do they want to be?
I mean, I want to be the Dodgers. I want to be the Dodgers who are not afraid to have a lineup that says Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman.
And a team going into the playoffs that's not going to be a favorite.
Well, that's because they have injuries.
Right.
Yeah. But they've been able, because their team is so stacked, they're still 28 games over 500. They're still able to overcome and then hope to get there.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying, and I don't disagree, those should be the expectations for Chicago.
If you're the Chicago Cubs and you say that we are a top-tier destination and we're going to show you that by giving you the $230 million payroll, you need to be a team that can overcome or withstand injuries. You have to have that type of depth. And if you don't, then you go acquire it during the season. Why are do you think the Atlanta Braves right now are making excuses? They're trying to get in the playoffs. They to me, have an excuse. If at the end the Braves win 87 games and lose the wild card by a game or two, I'm going to go, well, you didn't have Acuna. You didn't have Austin Riley. You didn't have I'm going, okay, well, then that makes sense. You don't have 90 home runs.
Right.
Whereas I look at the Cubs lineup every day and I'm going, you talk about teams that scare you. You know, flip it to the lineup. What guy in the lineup scares you?
Well, and again, you know, the middle of the order, is it missing one bat? Is it missing two bats? Is it missing Cody Bellinger of last year compared to Cody Bellinger of this year? Okay. You got $30 million tied up in him again for next year. Is he Cody Bellinger 2023? Cody Bellinger 2024? Do you need the Soto bat to go along with that to make your lineup the scary, productive lineup that you want it to be on a daily basis?
Hey, look, I think that, I mean, I'm looking at the text line here. This, the 312, Dodgers fans can expect a 90-plus win baseball team every season. That's what I want as a Cubs fan. I think that's a dead-on text.
I don't think there's any fan in any fan base anywhere in the country that wouldn't have that, right?
But we're not anywhere in the country. We're not the Tampa Bay Rays. This is Chicago Cubs.
Right.
I think everyone wants that. Yes. Like White Sox fans should want that. But there's a realistic part of that, too. If you're a Cubs fan,
right.
I think it's realistically a realistic scenario that you can say we should be in the playoffs at 90 wins every season. I do.
312-644-6767. 84, 85 wins. Enough for the arrow to be up for you, Cub fans. White Sox fans will be getting to you in the bottom of the hour. Great guests are promised today. Top of the 10 o'clock hour, we have Ryan Flaherty, the bench coach of the Cubs. Bottom of the hour, the great Steve Stone joining us to talk some White Sox. Your calls always wanted and treated interactively here at 312-644-6767. So, we have established once again that Chicago should be L.A. and New York, not just another team in the Central Division. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Especially when, as an organization, you go out and say that you spend that type of money. It's another thing to say, we're spending $120 million this year, and this is a developmental year. This is a rebuild.
Yeah, they've already been through that.
They've already been through it. And they don't want, as what's going on the South side, nobody on the North side wants that. Right? They don't want to do it. They never wanted to do a rebuild twice. They knew they were going to have to do a retool and get some guys through the system for 2 or 3 years and get this thing back on track. It is back on track, but 84 to 85 wins is not enough. 708. Jed has proven he can build an 84 win team that misses playoffs year in and year out. And he should be replaced. That's going to be at some point, that's going to be the talk, is coming up short in September.
Well, that's a Tom Ricketts call.
That is a Tom Ricketts call.
Tom Ricketts call. 1 year left in a contract for Jed Hoyer. Again, the dynamic for Jed Hoyer brought in here was, no, we are not spending money and just throwing more money at our team every year. We're going to build a farm system. They've built a farm system. They've traded for other players from other teams and built their farm system. They've done according to quote unquote experts, you know, whoever watches that, on a regular basis, they've done a pretty good job. They're rated highly. What does that mean? To me, absolutely nothing.
Nope.
Okay. I don't know how you feel about it, because it's based on two or three players that are rated in the top 50 among minor league players in systems, okay? It's not based on, hey, this guy's going to come up and make an impact right away. These two guys are. And that's why I come back to the rookie at first, basically rookie catcher, rookie center fielder, third baseman now replaced by Paredes, all player development, all things I kept bringing up numerous times to counsel during the year when things were going great. And he would push back because he's all about winning that day and not thinking about whether or not this team's going to be good enough in Bruce Levine's mind or any of the other people to watch the game, but trying to get the best performance out of those players on a daily basis. But the reality to me was part of this year was about player development.
And the elephant in the room, to back up what you're saying, and this is the part that fans don't want to hear or might not know, the money flow is not the same as it was 7, 8, 10 years ago. The RSN business is a complete disaster. It's a mess. No one knows where that revenue stream. When the Cubs talked about the Marquee Network starting, they projected a boatload of money coming in and year out. Well, that boatload of money has since dwindled year in and year out. People are watching you guys who are listening to this show right now, you watch television differently than you did 5 years ago, and certainly in 2016 when the Cubs won the World Series. You're cutting cable, you're streaming only, you're watching it on iPads, and that has changed how the Chicago Cubs and other organizations can go out and spend money to acquire free agents, to add at the deadline, and it's why player development is probably more important than ever and why no top 100 prospects were moved at the trade deadline.
Basically, the advertiser is skittish about the fact that if you've gone to streaming and you don't like the product, you can turn it off today.
Yep.
If you like it again a month from now, you can turn it back on. So this has never been a part of the cable, oh, I have the sports package. Okay, I'm not watching the Bulls or the White Sox, but I'm a Cub fan. I get that, so I'm keeping it. I'm not going to eliminate it. That has gone away, and now what you're left with is mom and dad, people my age and older, are being taught by their millennial children and their grandchildren how to stream, how to be smarter about their choices of what they watch, how to relate to what the modern viewer is doing. And in the middle, like you said, Ryan, teams are losing $40 to $70 million a year. RSN TV deals are up in the air, and nobody really knows where this is going in the future.
Nope. And no one can. Whoever can is going to make a lot of money. I'll give you one example before we go to break here. You know, the Dodgers signed a 25-year, $8 billion deal. Okay? That 25-year deal, that is a television executive's dream. They still have
11 years.
11 years on that deal. You want to know why they have the largest payroll in baseball? That's the reason. No one's getting that television contract again.
It's $300 million a year.
Yeah. No one has that TV deal in sports. And that's why the LA Dodgers are able to have that all-star lineup.
But they do a lot of good things besides have money, okay? Mm-hmm. They develop players. They find players from other teams that weren't developed and develop them, take veterans off the heap and make them into really good ball players. So they do a lot of good things there other than spend money. Again, 312-644-6767. Lots to happen here on the show today, Ryan. And welcome for the second week in a row. I didn't scare you off in that first week. But
back and better than ever, baby. Let's go.
You still have time to quit anytime you want.
Well, we'll talk about that after the show. Cubs bench coach Ryan Flaherty at 10 a.m. Steve Stone, 10:30. We got lots to get to here on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The score.
Get rid of nagging joint pain without drugs or surgery. Now there is a better way. All natural treatments. Call QC Kinetics 312-809-5955.
For some chin music.
Hey, Alex, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
The reality of baseball and where we're at as an organization, you need to look at the types of returns that you can potentially get in trades. And, we need to, weigh, where we're going to be in a year, 2 years. But we also know how talented he is, and he can certainly lead a rotation of with the White Sox or anyone else. So we're going to take advantage of what he's capable of doing as a starter. But also, I think it's wise to see, what the market holds for a Garrett Crochet to see if we can improve the White Sox for the future.
White Sox general manager Chris Getz talking about whether or not pitcher Garrett Crochet, all-star Garrett Crochet, who made his 30th start last night, will be dealt in the offseason. And Bruce, that sounds to me very much, without coming out and saying, I 100% will be trading Garrett Crochet. It was him saying, I will 100% be trading Garrett Crochet.
Well, it's advertisement, okay? So it's general manager advertising. He's out there advertising to the other 29 teams via the media that, hey, we're wide open to make your rotation one of the best rotations in baseball. We have arguably the best young pitcher who's just made 30 starts, even though we've dumbed it down over the last five or six to help the innings load coming from zero to 140. And he's pristine and he's ready to win for you. What are you willing to pay for that? And I know I have my ideas about whether or not Crochet should stay or go. What about you?
He has to go. I think he has to go. These are ships passing in the night here. The timelines don't add up. This team's going to lose 125 games. They are going nowhere in the next 2 years. Nowhere. The idea of you need more Garrett Crochets, yes, 100%. You need five of them in your rotation. But you need five of them in your rotation when you're trying to get into the wild card in September or win a division in September, not when you are historically bad, are going to lose 100 games next year. And I don't see a scenario right now, Bruce, where the White Sox are quote-unquote contending until 2027.
All right, so all of that makes tremendous amount of sense to me, but I'll tell you why that theory makes so much sense that it doesn't, okay?
Okay.
And here's the reason why. At some point, you have to begin what is truly your rebuild,
okay?
You have to when are we taking a step up? So Garrett Crochet, with all of his ability and the also ancillary ability to be a leader on this team, brings you a great start every 5 days, brings you leadership in the clubhouse, brings your fan base and everyone else hope for your team, brings people out to the ballpark to watch your team, and on top of that, makes it more of a destination for free agents when you're ready to plug them in to want to come to the Chicago White Sox. How do you get people to want to come to the White Sox when you've gotten it down to the point of being an expansion team moving up?
Certainly by not losing 125 games. Garrett Crochet is 0-6 with a 6.46 ERA in the second half. He hasn't made a start over five innings since before July.
Right.
Okay, now I know that was intentional. We know that. To just make sure he gets through the whole season healthy.
Has he looked bad ever?
No, he's looked strong. There are a couple of times where his stuff just didn't look as sharp, which is when he got beat up in Boston.
Like, just like every
pitcher.
Great
correct.
Pitcher ever, right?
Right. But I'm just giving, there's zero, there's, you can't tell me next year Garrett Crochet comes back, is dominant in the first half, is an all-star, has a 2 point whatever ERA for a bad baseball team, and you're looking good. You can't tell me that.
Right.
You.
Where does it begin?
Look, if it were up to me, at some point, I'm with you. You have to commit to these guys. You have to commit to your future and say, okay, Garrett Crochet is part of our plan. 5-year extension. Luis Robert, you move to him. Is he part of your plan? Yes or no? If it's yes, you probably have to talk about extending him. If it's no, you're moving him. I totally agree with you. You have to commit at some point to these guys. But you are not in position right now as an organization to do that. And your best asset is the guy that has 2 years of control. And when you look in your cupboard, Bruce, and you're looking at your lineup every day, and you're seeing your 1 through 9, you can make a valid argument that you would try to replace every single one of them in 2 years. And you look behind them, and there's nothing in the cupboard except a struggling Colson Montgomery, Edgar Caro, who's been good, but very few catchers. But there's one catcher, Salvi Perez, who hits 30 homers a year. You have nothing. You have to use your asset to acquire. This asset, in my opinion, has to be a bat asset, not an arm. And you have to get it right. So that's a lot of pressure and spotlight on Chris Getz to make sure if you're going to trade Garrett Crochet, it's got to be right.
So isn't it a bat that's in the major leagues with only 3 or 4 years of time available, or is it a bat That's at AAA. That's ranked fourth or through seventh in the top young players in baseball. What are you looking for?
It's a bat that's AAA slash, you know, a cup of coffee in the major leagues, meaning he's ready to play every day or he's blocked somewhere
else. And how many others for Garrett Crochet?
It depends on what you're like, probably. You're probably getting three players for Garrett Crochet. And I'm not saying you're getting three top 100s, but if you get a top 15 and two outside the top 100, and that guy in the top 15 is a stud.
Should you get more than you got for Cease? Similar.
Great question. It's going to be a similar deal.
I mean, it's 2 years.
It's going to be a similar deal. And quite frankly, Dylan Cease had the better resume.
Right.
So, at least in terms of health.
But, I mean, they had 2 years here with Cease, right, this year and next?
I think the Cease trades are – that's. I think right now you have to say, as we sit here at the end of the season, it's probably a win for Chris Getz. The Dylan Cease trade is probably a win because of what we've seen from Thorpe. Iriarte obviously has been fantastic in the minors. He's been up here as a bullpen guy, you know, late in the season. So it's the judgment's still out on him. But I think that's a win. So – that's a good trade comp, but I think you got.
We have to throw in that the guy's having surgery, then you know, and that it's not considered major surgery because they're shaving down a little bit of a bone spur, but it's still surgery. He'll be out for a couple months and then raring to go. But he looked very good to me, and he looked like a major league quality top of the rotation pitcher.
And that's why you cannot guarantee that the same situation wouldn't happen to Garrett Crochet. And I think he looks the part. He looks like, remember when we say Chris Sale's too lanky, he doesn't have enough meat on his, he looks like the beefy Chris Sale. I mean, that's what, and he's strong, and like you talked about leadership and tangibles, he has all of that stuff. He has all of that stuff. Now, does that get you a better prospect because he's good in the clubhouse? No. They want to know what he's doing every 5 days and how he prepares. But I'm looking at, like, the Baltimore Orioles, Bruce, I've been saying this on the White Sox Talk podcast for well over a year when the Orioles were in the market for Dylan Cease last season, that, hey, if they get to the postseason and get swept or out in five, it's going to be because they're short arms. And they were. They won 100 games, and they were out before you could even say anything because they didn't have arms. This year they went and got Corbin Burnes. But can Corbin Burnes take an entire team and ride them on his back the postseason? We've seen it happen one or two times in the history of the game.
They're trying to hold on to a wild card spot right now.
My point is they've fallen in love with their prospects who, quite frankly, are all very good, okay? But they have some guys in the minors who are – Coby Mayo is the guy I'm looking at. Like,
right.
That's the guy who is stud everywhere he's been. He's had three or four seasons in the minors. He's had a cup of coffee in the majors, and if that cup of coffee has led to about an .091 batting average. And he's kind of blocked.
Right.
So
that's what you want. I mean, the Cubs made a good trade for Michael Busch. Reason they got Michael Busch was you got Freddie Freeman, you got Otani, you got tons of people in front of you that you're never going to be on the field unless there's an injury.
Yeah.
So good trade for the Dodgers. They got a big arm from the Cubs in it. Great trade for the Cubs. They might have their future first baseman for the next 5 or 6 years right there at Clark and Addison.
And that's the type of calculated trade that the White Sox would need to make. Because if the Orioles go out again here, Bruce, that hot seat is getting a lot hotter. There's people in Baltimore last year were excited to be in the playoffs. They went 100. Right. Like, oh, we're back. Baseball's back in Baltimore. That's no longer acceptable.
Right. And the window for a smaller market team like Baltimore is starting to shrink as well because – all those wonderful players within a couple of years. And now when you're within 2 years of free agency, small market teams have to consider trading you if they're not in a position to try to win that year. They're already looking ahead, as we've already seen with Cease and we're looking with Crochet. It's not about trading you the year you're going to be a free agent. It's trading you not the year before, but 2 years before. So you get optimum amount back from the other teams. It's a new criteria that's being used over the last 5 or 7 years.
Look, it's about winning the World Series. If you're not doing this whole rebuild, developing prospects and having 10 top 100 guys to fall flat in your face in October. So Corbin Burns is a free agent. Am I wrong?
Right.
You think the Baltimore Orioles can afford Corbin Burns?
No, no. But they also can't afford not to keep him.
That's which is why they are the perfect match for Garrett Crochet.
Right.
It's why that team is trying to win year in and year out right now in the hardest division in baseball.
At some point, Chris Getz and the White Sox will have to be able to tap the fans on the back, right here on the shoulder, and say, we're ready to be seen again by you. Show up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when they are ready, you know, the Crochets of the world hopefully will still be in their system, and they'll have a great product. That's their hope. That's what they're moving toward. There's no guarantee. You know, right now, Crochet is the closest thing they have to a guarantee of an ace pitcher, somebody to say, I'm going out to the game tonight because Crochet is starting. There's not a lot of guys in baseball, let alone in Chicago, that you say, you know, let's take the kids out because Crochet is pitching.
Absolutely.
Right now, he's one of those guys.
And the Sox have the best two. Like, they know how to develop left-handed pitching for whatever reason, and they have the two best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball, right. Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. That timeline matches.
Right.
That timeline matches where you are, which is why maybe that's why Chris is so public and vocal about it, because everyone knows this scenario. So, hey, we want to hear your thoughts on this. 312-644-6767. Bruce and I here. Top of the hour, Cubs bench coach Ryan Flaherty. Baseball coverage on the score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out more and how at T-Mobile.com/switch. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse.
What's up, everybody? Ryan McGuffey here with Bruce Levine inside the clubhouse. We are going to be joined by Ryan Flaherty, the Cubs bench coach, here at the top of the hour. Keep listening for your chance to be a part of a live studio audience for Mullion Hall's September 25th broadcast from 5:30 to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mullion Hall will be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Bruce, we got some callers here. We have the text lines blowing up on both sides of town.
Anything you can read on the air from the text line? Or
why is Bruce still on the show? Oh, no, that's – oh, sorry.
That was from your family.
That was a family member. That's. Let's go to Paulie here in the loop and see what he has. He wanted to chime in on this this White Sox situation.
Hey, guys. What's great up, show. It's nice listening to the guys that don't have the desire to have to hear themselves talk all the time. White Sox. Reinsdorf doesn't care what happens. There's going to be a strike starting before the 2027 season. Salary is going to come way down. They're going to put a salary cap on. They're going to not let the guys look at the players, look at the books. Players only bring in about 15% of the revenue nowadays. The new partners for the owners is gambling. Even Reinsdorf said it himself when they asked him what he missed most about these shorter games. He said inter-game gambling. That's their new partners. You could put Simeon in Cardinals uniforms and Nutrier in Cubs uniforms, put them out at Wrigley Field, and people still bet their brains out. Salaries are going to come way down, and Reinsdorf's going to be the guy that leads this strike. That's why they're in the position they're in now. He doesn't believe you should be paying a guy like Swanson $160,000 a game. Okay? It doesn't make sense. Based on what revenue that guy brings in.
Right.
Well, I can tell you one thing, and Bruce, I know you know Jerry very well. No one's more miserable. Okay. Jerry is not having a good time. And I've been very vocal on the White Sox. Most of it's player performance related or development related. But Jerry's lost. Like he is having a miserable time taking this in day in and day out. Now, I know the counter to that from Paulie might be, well, then tell him to spend more. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to throw $200 million at someone to fix this problem? Because that's not, what's that going to do, Bruce?
Well, look, Jerry is, you know, made that statement, came out this week, made the statement about how no one is more disappointed than he is. Nobody thinks this is acceptable. I think that's owner speak for, I believe in my front office and Chris Getz, but I'm probably still looking to fortify what we're doing here. Maybe there'll be another executive hired along with Chris Getz during the way. Maybe I know that Jerry hasn't given the idea up that they need a new facility to play in.
Oh, come on. Okay. Why?
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 Because there's a lot of reasons, but number one is White Sox fans deserve a new ballpark, okay? They need they deserve a new ballpark that is accessible from public transportation day and night.
The reason people aren't
day
going...
Day and night.
Okay.
Daytime is accessible for the White Sox. Nighttime is not, okay? People do not want to go on the red line at night, okay?
Especially to watch a team that can't win.
You know, I mean, you can add in all the other stuff. The reality is a safety issue, okay? They do not trust going on the red line at night, going back home.
What happens if the Cubs play at night? You have to take the red line.
Well, first of all, you're on the red line with like 60 other people in your car, right? You're holding on. There's plenty of fortification as far as protection goes in their mind. Well, the White Sox, it's a different dynamic. The other dynamic is traffic has created situations where public transportation is preferable to driving to a ballpark in Chicago, okay? It is, by far. And downtown would be the right location.
Is there a stop right now currently at where the 78 location is?
I don't think there is.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
But there would be. The idea, so again, if Jerry sells the team tomorrow, the first thing the new owner is going to come in and say is, guess what? We need a new ballpark, okay? That's the first thing they're going to say. And the second thing he'll say is, fine, you don't want to give me a new ballpark? We'll help pay for it. But if you don't, Chicago and Illinois, we're moving it to blank, okay?
Here's what you've created, though. There's so much apathy right now with White Sox fans that I don't think anyone cares all that much. Because if the fans...
White Sox fans are not becoming Cub fans.
No, I didn't say they were becoming Cub fans. I just said Sox fans are pushing back saying, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me I need to pay for your stadium. Don't tell me it's the sole reason this team is where it is.
How is it different from the Bears?
The Bears are going to get their stadium.
Well, why?
First of all, they've offered to pay for some of it.
So number the White one, Sox, like, the White Sox will have to pay for a lot of their stadium, and they will. Okay. They'll find a creative way to pay for it.
Okay.
They know Illinois and Chicago is not giving them a free ride.
Okay.
They've had a free ride for
30 plus years.
So let's reverse the conversation and say, why aren't they satisfied with the free ride?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And you know Chicago White Sox fans, but they're a show me what they're a, what have you done for me lately fan base. They will show up to watch it. The ballpark's fine. Guaranteed Rate Field's a great time. I take my kids there all the time. We have a great time. It's a much better experience for kids and families than Wrigley Field.
Yeah, because of the space, you know.
I have no problem getting in and out of there. I take the red line there sometimes, too, from the northwest side.
Yeah, it's because they're drawing 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Even when they're drawing 25. Last night.
Are you going on at night?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're a tough guy. You know, you're not very smart, but you're a tough guy.
Well, we're going to continue that conversation. We got more to talk about how tough I am, whether or not that's true. But we have Cubs bench coach Ryan Flaherty joining us at the top of the hour. Looking forward to a spirited conversation with Ryan, more with Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
For Trent, pick number one!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.